We'll turn for our scripture reading, please, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read, please, from the verse 1. Romans chapter 1. And the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto or hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him and the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. On the 31st of October 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. That event is often considered to be the commencement of the great Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther was born in Germany to a peasant family. However, during his teenage years, that family was enabled to move through higher ranks of society. And at the age of 18, Martin Luther entered Erfurt University. Luther had a brilliant mind. Despite the fact that he was raised a Roman Catholic and came from a very devout Roman Catholic home, he never actually saw a copy of the scriptures until he was a student at university. When he was 22, he left university. He experienced a number of dangerous events in his life, and one of which was being caught in a great storm when a flash of lightning had struck the ground in front of him. And Luther made a vow at that time that he would become a monk. Luther then later entered a monastery. He became a very conscientious monk. He performed menial service. He sought to keep vows that he made. And he earnestly sought to find peace with God through the performance of religious deeds. So he would pray. He would fast. He would confess his sins. And he sometimes suffered great ill health because of the self-deprivation that he put himself through. And despite all of that affliction that he brought upon himself, he could never find the peace that he so yearned for. And Luther was seeking to overcome sin. He was seeking to make himself holy. He continually sought to make himself right before God. And those efforts could not bring peace or comfort. And no human advisor that he went to for help, especially within that religious society, seemed able to bring the comfort that he yearned for. And Luther knew that he stood guilty and condemned before God. Luther studied through this book of Romans. He sought to find answers for his troubled soul. He came to this great text in Romans 1 and the verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." While he struggled over those words many times, on one occasion the Holy Spirit took his own word and the Holy Spirit applied it very effectively to Luther's mind and heart. And having been enlightened by the Spirit, Luther came to see the great truth that a man is not justified, a man is not set free by works, but rather a man is justified by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. During all that time that he had sought to work his way to God, he had been blinded to the sufficiency of Christ's work. Suddenly it dawned upon him that all that was needed to reconcile him to God was not found in his effort, but rather in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this text then, Romans 1:17, really was Luther's conversion text. In many ways we might call it the Reformation text. And for us, that great truth of justification by faith dawned on Luther's heart, and that became his great cry in the Reformation. And this was his continual theme in preaching, that a man was to be justified not by works, but rather by faith in the work of Christ. Do you know how in the Reformation there were those five great sola statements? The Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, the glory of God alone. And we could say that all of those statements really arise out of this wonderful text, Romans 1:17. Scripture alone. Now you think of how for years Luther had sought to make his way to God. He had sought to find the answer to the problem of guilt. And now he discovered the answer, not by his education and learning, but he found the Word of God alone, the answer, Scripture alone. He saw that it was Christ alone. It is the blood of Christ that saves. Grace alone, not through his merit and effort. Faith alone, and the glory of God alone. God is glorified in justification, not the sinner being glorified through his deeds. Now in this great text we see that justification or righteousness is related to life. And so it says the just shall live by faith. Or equally it could be translated the righteous shall live by faith. Luther felt that he never had this life, and he was right. He never had this life until he was converted. And when he was converted then Luther could say, I now live. The life here refers, of course, to what the Bible calls eternal life, which is the possession of those that are converted. Remember how John said these things? I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And not that ye know that you will have it, but it is a present possession of the people of God. And so the just shall live by faith. They are already partakers of this life. They are already possessors of eternal life. And that eternal life then not only has to do with the quantity of life, that it is eternal, but it has also the idea of quality of life, real life, true life, abundant life. So Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or through the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the life of the Christian is all about life. And having been justified then, we are to live by faith. The day that the truth of Romans 1:17 dawned in Luther's heart, the old Martin Luther died. He was crucified with Christ. But there came a new Martin Luther, the one who truly lived. I want to consider this subject of true life, the blessing of Martin Luther's text. I want to see, first of all, Luther's obstacles to true life. Luther's obstacles to true life. For it is significant that while Luther found peace through Romans 1:17, for a prolonged period of time, the words of this text had actually caused him great consternation. And prior to the time of Luther's conversion, many a night he pondered over the words of Romans 1:17, not in peace, but rather he pondered over them in sleeplessness and in despair. Because at the beginning of the verse it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And when Luther read those words, therein is the righteousness of God revealed, Luther could say, there is my problem. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. And he saw that the holiness of God was revealing his condemnation. And as he considered the truth of the holiness of God, the absolute righteousness of God, he had to say in the words of Romans 3:23, all have sinned. I, Martin Luther, have sinned and come very short of the glory of God. And the more Luther saw the holiness of God, the more Luther saw the righteousness of God revealed, the more he saw that he was a condemned man. And what did Luther do then? He tried harder to be good. And so he saw the holiness of God had condemned me, he could say. And he tried his best then to be more faithful than he had ever been before. But it was to no avail. God's righteousness always condemned him. What was the obstacle then to Luther enjoying the life of this text? All of his effort in trying to make himself right before God, to make himself just before God, was a great hindrance to him. Three times in the New Testament we have the words, the just shall live by faith, recorded. Now, those words are actually a quotation from the book of Malachi. Over in Galatians 3 in the verse 11, it says, for that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And Luther, he thought about those words. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And his deeds were trying to keep the law of God, to try to do good before God. But then God's word said, no man is justified by the law. No man is justified by his deeds. And that is obvious, Paul says in Galatians 1. Because the just, or Galatians 3 rather, the just shall live by faith. Luther, he grasped At that point, the first part of the gospel, he grasped this much, that he was a sinner. There's a gospel song and it says the first step to heaven is knowing you're lost. And that is not sufficient in itself. If someone doesn't admit they are a sinner and confess that, they never will be saved until they do. And Luther then, how blessed he was, even though he suffered greatly during those days of conviction. How blessed he was that at least he knew he was a sinner. At least he knew he was condemned. We think of the masses today, and the reality is this, they have no fear of God. They live without fear of eternity because they do not sense that God is holy. They do not sense that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And because of that, they do not see their own uncleanness. They are without hope until they see that they are sinners before a holy God. You think of how the Pharisees missed that vital point of coming to acknowledge sin. Remember how in Mark 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, them that are whole have no need of the physician. Those that are healthy, they have no need of going to the doctor. Well, the Lord went on and said, but they that are sick, those that are sick do have need of a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord was not saying that the Pharisees were without sin. But what the Lord was explaining was that those who come to the doctor are those that feel they are unwell. So the Pharisees, they were unclean. They were sick, as it were, spiritually speaking, before God. But they would not come to the physician because they had not first recognized their sin. And so then the Lord explained, those that come are those that have been awakened to the fact that they are sick, that they are unclean. Remember how the Lord, as he mingled with sinners, the Pharisees, they murmured, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And the Lord, in response, he told the parables that we have in Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And in Luke 15 and verse 17, the Lord said, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. 99 just or righteous people. And the gospel then is this. First come and see that you're unrighteous, that you're lost, that you're without hope. And Luther then, there was this obstacle when he failed to realize that it's not works that makes our way to God, and that we are to come confessing our sin. But I want to move on then, having seen Luther's obstacles to true life, to see Luther's entrance to true life. For during those years when Luther was under great conviction, we would have to say that Luther was a most miserable man. Luther was in great despair. The day that the truth of Romans 1:17 dawned upon him, Luther was not only enlightened in his mind, he was converted and he received the great blessing of the text, the just shall live by faith. And Luther could say, those days when I was in despair, I was dead in trespasses and sins, but now I live. What a dramatic, what a radical thing the resurrection to life really is. The sinner is one that is dead in trespasses and in sins. One that is serving dead works, trying by dead works to serve the living God. And that's what Luther had been trying to do, and it can't be done. And so then, as Luther saw that salvation is by faith, resting upon Christ alone, and Luther came to experience the great radical transformation that comes when an individual comes and rests upon Christ alone. Now, the word faith is absolutely crucial in understanding these words that are before us. If you look at the verse 16, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth," to everyone that has faith. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." You have these four mentions then of faith, or believing and faith. It's one word in the original Greek. And faith is not merely a head knowledge. For many today, the idea of faith is really something like this. I believe certain things to be true. And so there are those that will go to God's house and they say, "I have faith because I repeat the words of the Apostles' Creed," or "I repeat the words of the Lord's Prayer." And they make their belief to be the thing that saves. And on account of the fact that they believe in statements in the Apostles' Creed or in the Lord's Prayer, they believe that merely repeating those words and saying they believe them, that will open up the door to heaven for them. Now, Martin Luther, for a long time, of course, had believed in the Apostles' Creed. He had believed in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Was it that he didn't believe enough? Was it just that his belief wasn't large enough? That is not what these words are teaching when it says the just shall live by faith. The idea of living by faith is not placing merit in what we believe or what the measurement of our faith, but rather the faith is speaking of the instrument by which we lay hold upon that which truly does save. How can an individual be saved? By faith in Christ. It's the blood of Christ that saves. It's the work of Christ that sets the sinner free. And so it wasn't now that Luther had some merit to offer to God. "My faith is now good enough." Not at all. But rather the merit was this: Christ had done the work for him. And Luther was resting simply and savingly upon what Christ had done for him. And this change then, as I say, was enormous. It was radical. He had been dead in trespasses and sins. Now Luther was alive in Christ. The change was first internal, then external. You see, during those years of bondage, Luther had hoped that by changing external deeds, he could change his heart. He thought, "If I can live better on the outside, my heart will be made better." But then in the gospel, he saw that the word of God teaches the exact opposite. That yes, there is to be an outward change, but it follows the heart change. The heart change comes first, and then the works follow. The just shall live by faith. There must be faith in the heart, and then there comes that great outworking of what the Lord has worked in. Luther then was greatly struck with these words, "The just shall live by faith." Who are those that are right? Who are those that are right? The just. And Luther came to understand that the just there is speaking of the justified. The just shall live by faith. It's the justified, those that have experienced the great truth of justification. And as Luther understood that great truth, the book of Romans then was opened up to him. And for that word justified, it refers to a legal declaration before God. It's the exact opposite of condemnation. Condemnation is a legal declaration of sin and a sentence to everlasting destruction. Justification then is the opposite. It's a legal declaration before God of all of that guilt being removed. If you turn with me please to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and this is certainly a great chapter describing the wonderful doctrine of justification. Romans 4 and verse 3. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, his faith was in God, and it was counted or imputed unto him for righteousness. There was something reckoned to his account. And prior then to Abraham's conversion, the Lord had a record, as it were, of Abraham's sin, a ledger. And in that ledger there was a record of indebtedness, because Abraham had fallen short of the glory of God. But what a great truth this was then. When Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, counted unto him for righteousness. And the very righteousness of Christ then, it was imputed, accounted to Abraham. And he was no longer considered to be in debt. Rather, the account was in credit. Not because of some good in him, but because of all the blessedness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when that wonderful truth then dawned on Luther's heart, he could see, I have been unrighteous. I have been condemned. I have been in a state of indebtedness. But in grace, by faith, there is the imputation of righteousness. Now, Isaiah speaks of it in terms of clothing. Remember how he speaks of all of our righteousness as being as filthy rags. The best that a man can do to offer to God, it's useless. It's like filthy rags. But the sinner then that comes to Christ is dressed in a robe. In a robe of righteousness. The unsaved, they are in a dirty, tattered garment. The one that is justified, he is in a robe of righteousness. We look again at Romans 4 and the verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Chapter 5 and the verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this life then, the just shall live by faith. It's a life of peace. A life of living in the enjoyment of the doctrine of justification. There are some Christians and they're afraid of words like justification and sanctification. And they almost relegate that to the back burner. And they say that's just for preachers and theologians to talk about. And that was certainly not the view of Paul. Paul, as he writes these words in the book of Romans, he wants every Christian to enjoy them. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that is a legal peace. But it is also to be a lived out peace. Every day we are to enjoy our salvation, knowing that we are at peace with God legally, that our sin is gone. The righteousness of God has been imputed to us. There were great obstacles to true life with Luther. But then he discovered the entrance to true life. But I want to see, finally, Luther's progress in true life. Because in Romans 1 and the verse 17, it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so then, as the just live by faith, there is this living from faith to faith. Now, various explanations are given concerning these words. And some say that Paul is talking about the faith of the preacher becoming the faith of the hearer. And because, remember, Paul is speaking in the context of the preaching of the gospel. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the preaching of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And so some take the view that as the preacher preaches about faith, that the frumpy tooth faith is speaking of how the unsaved listener comes into faith in our Lord as the heart is opened. I believe the words here are actually talking about progress in the Christian life. Very often when you have those words in the Greek, from something to something, it has the idea of progress, of being strengthened. And I certainly believe that is in keeping with the words here, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That living by faith is not just speaking of the day of conversion. It starts there, of course. The just shall live by faith. There is that moment when their heart is opened and they believe. They live by faith. But then there is the life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the whole life of the child of God now is to be one of faith. And it is therefore to be one of progression. If you look with me in 2 Corinthians 3 and the verse 18. In 2 Corinthians 3 and the verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the open face here, it's speaking in the context of the veil having been removed from our eyes. So there was that time, just like as in the case of the unbelieving Jew, there was a veil over our eyes, and we could not see the truth of the gospel. But that veil has been taken away in the person of Christ. And we then, with unveiled face, we are looking into a mirror, as it were. And as we look into that mirror and behold the glory of God, we are being changed. The more we see the glory of God, we are being changed from glory to glory. That is, every day we are to be progressing. And I believe that is true then as well in Romans 1 and the verse 17. From faith to faith. There is that day, or there was that day in our experience as God's people, when we came in saving faith to Christ. But that is not the end of what it is to be a child of God. And to be a Christian is not to have some conversion experience as an insurance policy and then go on the rest of your life and live for the devil. That is not the way it is. But those that have been truly converted, having exercised saving faith, and that faith itself being a gift of God, they shall now live by faith. They shall go from faith to faith. In Hebrews 10 and verse 38 it says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And you have there the other reference in the New Testament to these words, the just shall live by faith. And here Paul, or whoever the writer is in Hebrews, he takes it in this sense of progression. The just shall live by faith, and those that are truly the Lord's, they must persevere. They are they that believe to the saving of the soul. They do not draw back unto perdition. May the Lord then, by his grace, continue to lead us on with himself, to make us progress in this life. And how we must have a longing in this dark day that there would be a fresh enlightenment upon the hearts of men and women to the great truth of these words. The just shall live by faith. Though that we would see those who are seeking to merit their way to a holy God, that they will be broken before God. And they will see that there is that life in resting upon Christ alone. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts.